ගරු ගජේන්ද්‍ර කුමාර් පොන්නම්බලම් මන්ත්‍රීතුමා ඔබතුමාට විනාඩි 15ක් කාලයක්
තියෙනවා. I thank you Deputy Chairman of Committees. Madam, I wish to start by taking up the question of the government's thinking of independent prosecutor's office. You see, from the Northeast, there have been several cases of habeas corpus that have been filed, filed in the provincial high court in Wabuniya, and it has been sent to the magistrate, Mulathiwa magistrate, for inquiry. And after inquiry, the high court has given order in favour of the petitioners, that is, holding the military, army, responsible for the enforced disappearance of certain individuals. And now the AG's department that appeared on behalf of the army has decided to appeal the case. So at the moment it is before the Court of Appeal. But my point here, Honourable Presiding Member, and I'm glad that the Honourable Minister is present, is that if the Court of Appeal holds with the petitioners, then again it falls on the Attorney General's Department to prosecute those officials. And it is the view of all those professional lawyers, counsel who have been appearing for similar cases, that there is a major conflict of interest where the AG's department, that is the primary lawyer for the state, for the armed forces, then also is asked to go against the state in cases such as this. So there is a very obviously there is a conflict of interest, and in that case the whole credibility of these proceedings comes into question. So if the government is thinking in terms of rectifying this by in fact creating an independent prosecutor's office, then that would be welcome. But very clearly, such an office has to be equipped with adequate infrastructure, resources, officials should have the power to directly get involved in investigations, give directions to the police, supervise the police and other investigatory bodies, have power to directly institute proceedings against offenders. I think those are the basic qualities that will have to be considered and must be completely independent. I think the key test would be to ensure that such an office does not go down the way of the AG's department with regards to this conflict of interest. I by no means wish to cast any aspersions on the department. I know since my I personally also have been in the in the profession, I'm qualified as a lawyer, although I don't practice. I know that the department has some tremendous talent. But nonetheless, the fact that when you are asked to do a particular job in defending the state for a vast majority of the cases, or take the side of the state on vast majority of the cases, to then suddenly turn around and be asked to prosecute the state officials, I think there is a genuine issue there. So certainly with regards to the situation in the Northeast, with regards to you know, habeas corpus cases and such, there is definitely a problem of credibility. The second point that I wish to raise, Honourable Presiding Member, is that the question of mass graves. Now, in the Northeast, there have been instances in Kokkutturuvai, in Mana, in the Satosa building in Mana, just beyond the bridge, causeway, there have been mass graves found. Then, as of 2 weeks ago, in Jaffna, in Chemmani, in the cemetery in Chemmani, there have been skeletal remains that were found. In fact, I personally went and had a look. At that time, when I went and had a look, the police had not taken any action. The magistrate had not been informed. And it was, in fact, one of our party members, who also happens to be in the committee of the cemetery, who I asked to make a formal complaint to the police, and thereafter the magistrates got involved. And the matter is being looked into. But here, with the question of mass graves, Honourable Minister, there is no protocol. To my knowledge, there is no clear protocol to handle mass graves. And as a result, there is severe shortage of funds. It's almost the case, almost always the case, where the government agent is asked to get involved. The OMP, I think, has a little bit of funds, but nowhere close to the source of resources that are required for the work that has to be done by the government analyst department and the courts to have this matter looked into as a matter of urgency. And as a result, because of things getting dragged out, both in Kokkuthodwai, in Manna, and now we fear in Chemmani, in Jaffna, evidence can get destroyed, can get tampered with. You see, these are questions of mass graves. You know that the major accusation against the Chemmani case, for example, is that over 600 people were killed, civilians were killed and buried in that vicinity. Then there were accusations during the Chandrika government that overnight there were excavations being done. So the suspicion is that the bodies from these from the Chemmani mass graves have been removed and have been dumped in this cemetery. So that is the suspicion. And if you don't have the sort of resources primarily to protect that area and to ensure that the evidence is not lost, grave injustice is likely to happen. So that is another area that the Honourable Minister has to look for. Our party's position is that, again, because of the system that we have here and because of the nature of the conflict that has taken place, with the ethnic conflict, because of the way in which the conflict took place, which is the Tamil people were fighting against the state, asking for the justice from the state. There is a polarization. The system has been pitted against a particular ethnic group, and that is why the UN Human Rights High Commissioner's office, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was High Commissioner Zaid, who made the comment that an internal inquiry is not feasible in Sri Lanka, for the simple reason that the system, because of the nature of the conflict, the system has been unfortunately prejudiced and is no longer in a position to carry out an impartial intervention in this matter. So it is in that context that I am raising these issues, because as far as I am concerned, the evidence must be protected. At least you must try and protect that evidence. You see, with regards to how these issues are to be looked at, you all have been suggesting an internal mechanism. My view is that that is just not it's a non-starter. But at the very least, if you can ensure that this evidence is protected and is recorded in a credible manner, I think that is the best you can do under these circumstances. I, for one, am not going to ask you to actually investigate it, because my view is that it has to be unfortunately, because I wish Sri Lanka was different. I wish we could have said that we have credibility, we look upon the system with credibility, but we don't. As victims, nothing has happened so far to suggest that that situation will change. So my request to you is that you intervene and ensure that adequate funds, adequate resources are given to protect these mass graves, the evidence in the mass graves, so that at one point, when there is some agreement with regards to how to proceed on the question of accountability with the victims, then this evidence can be properly used. The other matter, Honourable Presiding member is with regards to this conflict of interest. Now, if you take in matters that are sensitive, current matters that are sensitive, there have been ancient worship sites that are contested in the northeast. One is Kurundur Mele, the other one is Vadukkanari Mele. Then there is this Thayyati matter that is not an ancient one, but there is this Thayyati temple. In the first two, that is in Kurundur Mele and Vadukkanari Mele, the archaeological department gets involved. And when the archaeological department gets involved, the magistrate, it goes before the magistrate, the police are with the archaeological department, it goes before the magistrate. And the magistrate gives certain orders according to law, where according to law he has said that it's an archaeological site, it must be preserved. No new buildings must happen without the permission of court. But despite those orders being given, there are construction works that have taken place with the military's help, the police and the military's help. And the archaeological department fully sanctions that. It is on the instructions of the archaeological department that it is happening. The Aegis department takes the side of these government departments. Despite the magistrate giving orders, this has been happening. And when the magistrate has gone in, when he has been informed that in violation of his own orders there have been various things that have been happening at these sites, when the magistrate goes and visits, in the case of T. Saravana Raja, who was the Mullaitiva magistrate, he's threatened. The information that came public from that judge was that the AG himself called him. AG himself called him and effectively threatened him, and to a point where he had to leave the country. He has fled the country. So there is something here that you need to look at, because when the department is asked to appear for the military, to appear for the police, to appear for the departments, and when there are sensitive cases where then there is a clash, right, the whole system collapses. Certainly, that is our experience, and that should not happen. So for that matter also, you must have a look at this. Now, it is in this backdrop, Honorable Minister, that several senior officials from the department are preferred to be appointment to the apex courts. To the apex courts. Currently, correct me if I'm wrong, the Supreme Court, out of the 17 judges, except for 4, all others are from the department. All others are from the department. If you take the Court of Appeal, out of the 15, 8 are from the department. Right? So if the experience is that from the department, because of the nature of their work, they're heavily tilting towards the state. The nature of the work is to defend the state's interests, right? For them to be appointed in these numbers in those apex courts calls into question the credibility of the structure of the courts itself. And my advice, Honorable Minister, is that you must resort to the earlier practice, where except for the Attorney General and the Solicitor General, I don't think anybody else should be considered to the apex court, which is the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeal. Other members of the department can be considered to the High Court, and let them come up after that. But certainly not in the numbers and in the way in which they have been appointed right now, because it's terribly prejudicial to career judges. They work so hard, and after 20 years of work, they can only aspire in realistic terms to come up to the Court of Appeal, and that also maybe for 1 year or 2 years maximum. That is the practice today. If you take Tamil judges, I think after Justice Vigneswaran, Vigneswaran is probably the last Supreme Court judge, or is there someone now? But who came as a career judge? So there is something, I have personal knowledge of that. That is why I'm mentioning that. I'm certain the case is the same with regards to Sinhalese judges, but it is terribly unfair for a career judge to work so hard, to be transferred all over the place, all over the country, to the detriment of his family, to the detriment of his children, children's education sometimes, and then to find that they can't get the sort of reward despite being true to their work, to be able to reach the highest positions in the I'm winding up, madam. Criminal justice, as far as the Northeast is concerned, is the most fundamental issue today. It is because of mass atrocities and the need for justice and accountability for the crimes that were committed during during the war. Now, honorable minister, your government says that an internal inquiry is what you all will consider. Your government has not said one word of whether mass crimes like the crime of genocide, like the crime of war crimes, crimes against humanity, will be brought into law. Without the Rome Statute being agreed upon and being made into law in this country, you can't even think in terms of an internal inquiry. That is just the beginning. You don't have the legal will. You don't have the legal will to prosecute mass crimes because you don't have the infrastructure to do it. And you will never, quite honestly, you will never. And your government has said on numerous occasions, including the president himself, that he is not prepared to have one case brought before a court of law. Means there is no will. And in that backdrop, if what you are saying is that you are going to have an internal mechanism, it can only mean that you are going to try and ensure that the victims agree to something. I'm finishing, madam. Just 1 second. Agree to something that does not involve criminal justice, and that is a cover-up. That amounts, and that certainly is tantamount to a cover-up, and you must not do that. Because if you're going to do that, it is going down the same way as the previous governments for the last 16, 17 years. It makes no difference at all to the Tamils.
Garu Susanth Rodavatta Mantrituma. Order, please. Garu Harshanana Karamatuma.
I will reply to you more in my closing speech, but for the time being, about the mass graves you said, Honorable MP, for Kokku today, we have allocated funds in two stages, 5.6 million and 9.6 million. And for Manna, allocated funds 2.88 lakhs only. For Colombo also, you know, there was a mass grave situation. So that we have allocated 8.1 lakhs and 19 lakhs. Chenmani is a recent one, fairly recent. So we will definitely look into it and attend to the matter. So we are going to protect all the evidence because we believe justice is for everyone, not just for the South, not just for the North. However we are going to approach it, we may have difference of opinion, but justice will be done to everybody, all Sri Lankan citizens. I'll reply more at the end. Thank you.
Garu Munir, niyojya amathuma.
Punchi nivaradi kirimak handsarthula nivaradi karanne kiyala mam taamathma kaaranika illa sitnawa. Mage kathawa thula mama al Qur'an wachane kiyala sandahan kara. E nivaradi veyutu arabi wachane kiyane. Stuti avasthana.